I think we're going to speak on union and what that means. A little bit about how to get there. Would you like that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, thanks, that's great. You know, as we're seeking union, I have to be very honest with you. The enemy will love to frustrate you, confuse you, let you become discouraged, help you become discouraged. So you really have to learn how to keep control of your inner self. Because if he can get you trapped in soulish emotions, he will win. You hear me?
Yes.
So maybe particular kinds of things really cause you discouragement or cause you to feel like you're wrapped in chaos and you get tired, maybe even despairing. When these things come on, stop it that very minute. Don't try to analyze it. Don't say, well, I'm upset because of this. I'm insecure because of that. Don't try to analyze it. Say, don't try to analyze it. Just quit. If you try to analyze it, by the time you get to the analysis, you will be done for it. Don't lose the time. Just say, okay, well, she told us this is what we have to do, so I'm going to shove that out, and I'm going to keep going the way I was going. Amen?
Amen.
My hope is that when I share visions, dreams, visitations, that you're not going to sit and get jealous or maybe get doubtful or, well, antagonistic, anything that is negative. I hope you will say to your heart, oh, this is wonderful, because when she explains it like that, it's so clear. And a lot of the experiences that I have are given so I know how to address the church with Jesus' will. And if I experience it, I can give it to you as an experience and you will know what to look for. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so I don't say it to make you jealous. I say it to train you. If you want union, it isn't like you can go from being a baby Christian to being an adult son. It's not possible. So you need to be trained, just like you would train a child, a toddler 3 years old, how to be a 4 year old, how to be a 5 year old, how to be a 6 year old. Do you understand what I'm saying? So please hear everything I'm saying. Please be thankful that God has given me a way to help you identify things along your path so you know better how to relate to him. I used to deal with a lot of fears every night, early in my Christian walk. This came out of my early years as a teenager. Gosh, into my 20s, I would often wake up several times a night just terrified and not know why. And so one night I said to the Lord, please help me understand this so I can overcome it. So that night when he awakened me, he said to me, I'm going to show you something about myself so you will know who your protector is. I saw him sitting upon a throne. He had a beautiful crown on. Light shined brilliantly from him. I think every precious stone known in the world was attached to a breastplate he had on. He was so beautiful, not because he was robed beautifully, but because I could see the character inside as it shined like light from him. The gentleness, the goodness, the kindness, the meekness, the humility. His eyes are naturally blue, a beautiful, beautiful color of blue. And when you look into his eyes and he into yours, I hope that this is really a great explanation, because it is to me. But his eyes look like liquid love. They don't look solid. They are solid, but they don't look it. His eyes look like liquid love. And when he's looking at you, you are feeling so loved, so cherished, like you are the most important person in the earth. His voice is sweeter than any voice among the human beings that have ever been on earth. His face is so gentle. When I say he's meek, if you haven't seen Jesus, you've never really seen anyone meek. So it's very hard to explain it or to discern it. But he is so meek. And that meekness and humility makes you want to do anything for him. If he suggests something, it's like you want to be gone doing it before he finishes, just to show him how much you want to obey him. Everyone around him on the throne adore him. Love just streams, love and light just streams out of them toward him, and he toward them. Now, if he's there to show or reveal his holiness, his majesty, different story, because his holiness, the fear of God takes a hold of you, and you're really terrified to be in front of it. His majesty, the same thing. When he comes in his majesty, it's like I can feel every cell in my body arise to worship him. But if he's going to come that way, he's going to come that way because he's going to teach you a very, very valuable truth. And he wants your heart humble enough to be able to receive it. So it's a good thing, right? So I'm in my room, and he opens the portals of heaven, and there he is in the effulgence of his glory, his majesty, his holiness. But yet, from his eyes, all you see is it seems like number one, fire, or number two, this gentleness, this kindness, this endearment. He's endearing to us, and you are endearing to him. He thinks, well, you know how you feel about your children, right? His is so much greater than that. We can be making 1,000 mistakes a month, but that never causes him to get discouraged or to waver in his love. He's willing to teach us if we're willing to learn. If we're not, he backs away and lets us learn by ourselves. You need to know what I'm sharing right now, because this is your teacher. This is your trainer. This is the one that is going to teach you how to become an adult son of God. So you need to be able to trust these meek and holy attributes of him. He's not there, you know, to get his bat and beat you up. If you've really made a bad mistake, then he'll talk to you, and he'll talk to you firm. But he's not like human parents that just get all riled up and angry. He's so wonderful. He's so beautiful. I've seen him come to me looking like the greater David. Auburn hair, curly, much shorter. I've seen him with long, down to the shoulders, very, very dark brown hair or black. I've seen him with sandy brown hair. But his face never changes. It may be a little more Jewish one time and a little less Jewish another. What I'm talking about is the character that shines through his face never changes. The love that he has for you, whether he's there to discipline you, which is a rarity, trust me. Or regardless, he's just always gentle. He's always gentle, he's always caring, he's always like a gentle man. If he wants to introduce me to saints in heaven, he'll explain what's going to happen and why. And then, poof, we're in heaven. But he treats me the same whether we're there or here. It isn't like when we're alone, he acts one way. And when we're with him in the midst of people, he acts another. That isn't the way he is. And I'm trying to tell you this because one of the things that frighten Christians the most is if they think Jesus might visit them right now. People just come unglued, and next thing you know, they're saying, please don't visit me right now, I'm not able. And of course, he understands that, and he probably won't come, but he'll do more preparation in your heart for a visit at a latter time. Okay, let each of you esteem, this is Philippians 2, let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interests, but also each for the interest of others. Let the same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility, who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think that this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained, but stripped himself of all privilege and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant, in that he became like men and was born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Let me stop for just one moment. Man has no capacity to develop a meekness and or a humility equal to Christ's. If your soul is so stricken with that humility that you can hardly breathe, he's still 6 feet underground compared to you. We cannot bring ourselves there in our own strength. It's something he has to do, and he will only do it through prayer. You have to pray and pray and pray that he will begin to impart his meekness into you. The reason you want it is because the meeker you are, the meeker you go, the more you're going to see, the more you're going to come to know. His meekness is, and his humility is so beautiful. I don't even know how to utter it in English words. It is so beautiful. It is so pure. It is so disarming. It's anything but demanding. If you are clothed in his meekness or filled with his meekness, you will come to a place where you're totally incognizant of your own existence. Can you imagine that? We all think of ourselves all the time. And most of us think of ourselves as pretty great people. I can remember when I first received the call to ministry on my life. Now, don't laugh. When I finally said yes, I thought, you know, one thing about me is I'm very thorough, and I don't let go of things easily. So he made a good choice in choosing me. A few years later, and more meekness later, more humility later, he's talking to me about things he's called me to, and I'm going, I wish there were someone else. The more you know about yourself, the more you're going to be dependent on him to get things done. The more you will realize how desperately you need his will and his power, his strength, his virtues filling you, demanding of you according to his will. And if you can see these things through the virtues of Christ, you will come immediately to love his will. I think That's how what happened with me. So it's probably would be what would happen with you. And that's the highest honor in heaven. Coming to a place where you love his will more than yourself, more than anything. You love his will. How do I explain that? Because it's different than human love. It's a love he puts in our hearts that gives us stability, a sense of direction, a sense of destiny. Because you're not sitting there or standing there thinking about yourself, because you're before the King of Kings, you're thinking about him, everything about him, anything about him. And because his nature is affecting your nature, everything seems so easy. Everything seems so perfect. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. Well, we don't have it in our possession. We have access to it. But when you enter into union, you have it in your possession. But he's got to train you to think like he does. Otherwise, you're in a state of confusion constantly. When he's trying to tell you something, you're not going to understand it, and you'll miss it. I mean, isn't this incredible? This king who will stoop to our level and teach us most holy things so that we can be at the top of the ladder, and not making bad mistakes, but actually doing good for his kingdom. Most parents aren't so diligent, you know, teaching and training their kids, and they're actually kind of thankful that they have teachers to go to in September. I could remember when Ricky was in school, from a very young age, I had started teaching her and training her before she ever went to school. So by the time she got into kindergarten, she knew more than all the other kindergartners, and she loved to learn. When we got into first grade, she knew pretty much everything that she was supposed to know for first grade. She was a quick learner. I loved to teach her. She loved to learn. So when she got into her first grade class, you know, and the teacher discovered what she had, the teacher says, well, this isn't going to work out. Let me see. I can give her assignments and then get her out helping other students. So that's what she would do. She would quickly finish her assignments and then be scouted out to different rooms in the school to teach other students. And I just had a belief that she could do it. And that's how Jesus is. He believes we can do it. He believes in us. And he wants to give us the strength we need to have the grace to do anything. He says yes, and we say, I'm scared. What happened with Paul when Paul was complaining about that very issue? Jesus said, my grace, and it's true. Paul was learning lessons, and he was exhausted mentally, spiritually, physically. But Jesus comforted him, saying, I'm here with you. I'm here with you and I'll help you through it all, so don't be afraid. May I give you another example of just how timely his help can be and how carefully he helps? Would you like me to? I was writing my book, Breastplate, Putting on the Breastplate of Righteousness. I felt so frustrated. I can't even go into why, because it would take too long. But I was so frustrated, and I decided that morning I wasn't going to write it, because I didn't want to put junk on the market in his name. And so, knowing my thoughts from his throne, he pops in. I'm sitting on the floor, you know, like waxing my furniture, my bedroom furniture. And this is so neat, but this is so like Christ. He came in and he sat down looking like my best friend. He didn't stand above me saying, "Thou shalt." He sat on one leg, and the other leg he had, you know, the knee up, and he had his arm resting on that knee. And he said, "Nita, you're fearful, aren't you?" I said, "Oh Lord, please let me throw this book away." He said, "I can't. This book I'm giving you nearly line by line, because this truth is going to get my church through many things. I want it to go out over all the earth. So I cannot release you from writing it. But I'll tell you what I will do. I'm crying. Don't cry. It'll be okay." He said, "I'll tell you what I will do. I will double yoke myself with you." And he reaches over and puts his hand on my arm. And I said, "How? How do you do that?" He said, "You won't even feel it, but you will start knowing what you cannot know right now. And this book will end up becoming very easy to write, because I will be giving you everything you need." This is how Jesus is. He could have said, "Well, I've come to tell you that I've released you from your task. It's obvious you can't do it and that I need it, so I'll get someone else to do it." But what he taught me for that book, no one was teaching. I'm not saying that they didn't in earlier generations, but not in this generation. The teaching is different. But this teaching came from Christ, and it's truth. So we put it on the market after we finished it. And I mean, it started flying out of our office. The Lord did it, because it was important to him to get this material out to help Christians know how to go through hardships and end up with a crown of victory. Would you like that? Yeah. If you've ever failed a test from the Lord, and if you're like me, you would do anything not to ever do that again. You want to learn so that you can have the victory in the test. You want to learn so that he can be proud of you. I know that Christ is not proud, but I don't know what word to use. You know, you just want to know that he's pleased, that he's so very pleased because you've paid the price, you've won the battle, and now you can go on. And that's what that book is designed to do. It's to help you learn the things of God continuously. So he will double yoke himself with us. He will help us learn to identify areas that are very weak, areas that need to be strengthened by him. When he knows that he has but a short time to prepare you for something, he wants to come to you either himself or an angel. You may not know anyone is standing there, but they're there whispering in your ear. Have you ever heard a very gentle male voice say something to you that you needed an answer for? Have you ever experienced that? It probably was an angel. So ask that it be confirmed through the word, and he'll confirm it, and it will help keep you safe from deception. So the Lord is our Father. He is our teacher. He is our counselor via the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who is the paraclete, or the one who walks alongside, he's given to us automatically to teach us the great things of God. Now, I want to tell you something. Jesus is more than wonderful. There is not a song on the face of this earth that can truly depict how wonderful he is. He is wonderful. If you are in your worst trial, the worst one you've ever been in, you are suffering, it feels like the very swords of the enemy, just close your eyes and force your vision back on Jesus, and you will begin to feel filling your soul, his peace, his sense of safety, his sense of approval, his love, and maybe some answered questions. But he's so wonderful. The Bible says that he condescended to be with us. And that's what I saw that day when I saw heaven open. I saw he was so glorious, and his kingdom was so ravishingly beautiful, outstandingly glorious. Everywhere you looked, it was like, you couldn't believe how beautiful everything was. As the Lord is showing me all this, he's saying, he is my son, and he has been with me through eternity. But he condescended to come down and be with you, to teach you my way. And he put in my heart the feelings like, oh, I can't wait to learn from Jesus. When Elijah appeared to me and he told me he was going to help me learn a few things, he was so stern. I mean, he was like a 5-star general. He was, I'm serious. He was so stern that he scared me. You know, I wanted to, because you love Elijah, because you love God. But there wasn't that vulnerability to the degree that is in the Son. So you stand beside Jesus and you just feel nothing but adored. Even if you've committed a wrong, you feel so loved. You feel so adored. You're sitting there thinking to yourself, okay, Lord, let me have it. I can handle it. Because look how loving you are. Come on, Lord, go ahead. It's okay. I'm listening. You're not afraid of anything he would say, because you know he would never say anything to deliberately hurt you. And if he does talk to you, you can say to him, I don't understand. Please help me. And he will. Now, this is whether you see him or you don't see him. If you keep in constant communication with him, he'll show you the way in which to go. With this one purpose in mind, does anyone know what it is? To get you into union. He wants it more than you could ever want it. That may seem almost impossible to you if you want it like I do, but it is true. We could never want it the way he wants it. And he will get us there if we'll just be obedient. You may make mistakes along the way. We know Job did, right? Right? But did he get kicked out? The ones that were really reprimanded were his friends for not telling Job the truth. The Lord only reprimanded Job for lack of faith. But he reprimanded his friends for many things because they did not speak his will, his word, his heart, his mind. They were judgmental, critical. At a time when Job was in so much pain, he didn't need that. But even so, and this is what I love about the Lord, he disciplined them and then loved them. He doesn't hold a grudge. Why? Because guilt will keep you from being near him. If you have guilt over anything, to the degree that you deal with guilt, that is the space you will not let him invade. So he never deals with guilt. He deals with conviction. And conviction will help you be free of anything that binds you. Do you understand? So get an image in your mind. The love chapter is a great image. Mark it, go there, meditate on it every day. Galatians is also a good image. Galatians chapter 5, the fruits of the Spirit. And as you're meditating on these things, think of Jesus. In fact, what I used to do is I would go through the love chapter and I would say, instead of love is, I would say Jesus is. Until I had his personality and character fully in my understanding. He has caused my vocabulary to grow huge so that I could understand things in his word that I couldn't understand without it. He just puts it in me. And I suddenly know it's a word and know what it means. He doesn't do that to make me feel smart. He does that only to help me learn of him. When he calls you, whatever it is that he wants you to do, just do it. Don't be like me, because sometimes I can try to reason with him, let's put it like that. But just do it. You'll find out all the reasoning you need once you have completed obedience. If on a particular subject you weren't quite as obedient as you needed to be and problems began to creep in, don't kill yourself with guilt. He knew what was going to happen before it happened. And everything in his, I'm going to call it luxury heart, is right there to heal, to comfort. How many make a mistake and you just jump up and down at what a wonderful person you are? How many of you may make a mistake and you just start beating yourself up? You stupid idiot, why did you do that? He doesn't want us to do that because it doesn't accomplish anything. What he wants us to do is just rest in his arms and let him do what he needs to do to fix the mess. I have a friend who's a pastor. He gives a wonderful example. His dad was Italian. In fact, the whole family is 100% Italian. And his dad had this huge, robust voice. And anytime my friend would get in trouble, what he really wanted to do was run 100 miles away, because this guy was so big and he was so little. But when his dad would catch up with him and prepare him for his spanking, my friend, who is the pastor, my friend would grab a hold of his legs so that he couldn't get his body turned around. And all the time that he's holding his legs, "Daddy, I love you. I love you, Daddy. I love you. I love you, Daddy. I love you. You don't want to spank me. I love you." I mean, when you see a kid doing that, it's really hard to spank them. And that's kind of how it is with the Lord. So many things we take so seriously, and I've got to be the world's worst for that. But so many things that we take so seriously, the Lord just smiles, winks, and says, "Well, let's move on." So though you may fear this transition, no reason. He's 100% with you. He wants you to come into union more than you could ever want it. Let me say just a couple more things. If you're not a person of prayer, you need to become one. Even if you don't know how to pray in your language, pray in the Spirit. Or meditate on his word. By this means, your spirit will begin to use the word to bring you into an understanding and a strengthening for union. Everything you do in your life from the time that you make that commitment with him is going to be designed to help you into union faster than you could ever get there any other way. And so, all of this is well and good. There will be many times you're going to have questions, and I can promise you this wonderful thing. If you have a mountain of questions because something really catastrophic happened, don't stand there stomping your feet saying, "Tell me, I want to be in union. You have to tell me why that happened." Don't talk to him that way. But rather, humbly, meekly, ask him, "What does this mean, sir? What does this mean, my Lord?" Talk to him with the greatest respect. No matter how angry your heart may be, don't take that to Jesus, because he'll just leave. You never want to approach anything about the kingdom with anger. If you do it, my friend, I have to be honest with you, your lesson time is going to be a long time until you learn how to control the negative, weak things inside of you. Amen? Is it okay that I tell you that? Say, oh yes, because now we won't do it. God is so good. He's so filled with love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, long-suffering, and on it goes. So let me stop here.